Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Say amen. Amen. It is good to know that the God of the universe, the one who made the heavens and the earth and everything in it, is for you. It's good to know that the one who has all power in his hands. It's good to know that the one who fashioned us in his own image, that he is for you. It is good to recognize, to sing, to celebrate when we think about the God who has majesty and deserves honor and has created everything that is, that he is truly for you. The Bible says that they that are not against you, it's for you. And one of the things that we recognize is that God has sent his son not to condemn the world, but that through him, all of us might be saved. That he is truly for us. I think about the things that sometimes make us feel unworthy. The things that we fail to do in our sin nature and our fleshliness, and it separates us from God. The God who has wrath and judgment in one hand also is filled with grace and mercy. And the good news is he is for us, that he goes before us. Whether we acknowledge him or not, he will come behind and scoop us up. The God of the universe, he is for us. Even when sometimes we ought to be losing our mind, adoring all that he has done, when we look back over our lives and we think about the goodness of the Lord, and we don't necessarily give him everything we have, he is still for you. And so I don't know, maybe it's just for me. God, I repent right now, God, because God, you fixed it. You designed, God, that I would have a right to the tree of life. God, that Jesus, God, thought it not robbery, though he was in glory, to come down and take upon himself the form of a man and would go all the way to Calvary's Hill for me because he is for me and he's for you. Amen. Amen. I'm grateful today. I'm excited about this word. Yes, we're going to celebrate. Yes, we're going to honor. We also got a word from the Lord. Amen? Amen. So let us pray. God, we just pause for a moment. God, we extend our hands to you. God, we loosen our hands. God, whatever it is that we've been holding on to, God, whatever it is that we've, God, been holding tight as if, God, we give it to you, something negative is going to happen. God, we extend our hands this morning. God, we loosen our grip on that thing that we've been holding on to. God, we shake off the bitterness and the strife and the things that continue to weigh us down. God, we need to hear a word from you because the preaching of the gospel is to some foolishness, but unto those who are saved, it's the power of God. Father God, hide me behind the cross. Not only the words of my mouth, God, but anything is the meditation of my heart before we even come out. God, I pray that it would be pleasing to you. God, fix our hearts and our minds. God, make us ready. God, let your Holy Spirit be stirred in each and every one of us. God, let your fresh wind, the mighty wind, blow through this place. come down like a mighty fire. And God, we'll be careful to give you glory. Fill the room. And God, we ask, God, you do it because you can. Thank you, God, for who you are and for what you do. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. That's your nature. That's your promise that you never leave us nor forsake us. So God, let us draw nigh to you and you'll draw nigh to us. We love you in Jesus' name. For our say amen. All right, so we're starting another series for the next 7 weeks on the Bible heroes, but we're going to detour today. And we're going to talk about answering the call. Answering the call. And a lot of times we think when it comes to a call that it has to do with a preacher, a prophet, or somebody with a biblical office, somebody who is in a positional of power within the church or within an organization. And I stop by to tell you, the call is for all of us. That we all have a call. And I understand that sometimes when we think about a call, we think that there is something that is overly spiritual. And sometimes we think that's for somebody else. But I think we should examine that today, but first be open and available to answering the call. You remember we had the Bible verses we were memorizing, and Jeremiah 33:3 was one of them. And it was go something like this: call to me and I will answer, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you don't know. That's what happens when we call to him. But don't you know God is calling us? The call, sometimes it's a vocation. Sometimes it is a spiritual office, it's a gift. Sometimes it is something that makes us an ambassador for Christ because we utilize our giftings. The Bible says that according to the Holy Spirit, each one of us has been given a spiritual gift in accordance to the measure that the Holy Spirit wants to give. And the problem is sometimes we compare our giftings with somebody else's giftings and we think that, well, that can't be us because we don't have that manifestation. And so I stop by to say, regardless of what you think your gift is, the question is, are we ready to answer the call and use our gifts as ambassadors, as representatives? Don't you know sometimes maybe the gift is just being willing when we leave this place and we see a need to meet a need? Don't you know the call is not necessarily tied to prophecy, preaching, or evangelizing? Sometimes it's just having a heart to say, yes, Lord. That God nudges us, that God shows us clearly that that is purposeful. And the question is, will we answer the call? Sometimes it's a vocation. Sometimes it's a special, it's a specific task. Sometimes there's something that you can do that nobody else can. Because God has fashioned your, not only your gift, but your experience. He has fashioned how he created you. He's given you a perspective that when you use your gift, when you say, yes, Lord, when you do that, it is unique. It is a specific task. So I thought I might ask, what is God calling you to? Where is it that God is saying, follow me? Sometimes the task is a special work. Sometimes it's something that you are called to, and this is special. It is something that will glorify God when you are obedient. And you may think, well, it's not something that is going to be highly touted. It's not going to be something that's going to be honored. But God says, I will honor it. No one may know, but you might know. God says, are you willing to answer the call? Sometimes it's a particular career. Don't you know you might be in a place in a space, wherever your career is, that you bring in light to that office. You bring in a culture change. You are shifting the atmosphere. The milieu is shifting when you walk in because you are a child of the King and your light shines brightly. It's changing everything in the house. Maybe your call is how you live your life in front of your kids. Maybe it's how your husband, your wife, or your friend, how they're looking and they're seeking after something different. And you're the first and the only example that they have. And God is calling you uniquely in that moment to walk circumspectly before the Lord. Sometimes the call is simply an invitation from God. That God is saying, can you just meet me here every once in a while? Can we change the program and the schedule? Can we put the game on pause? Can we not sacrifice, but offer something different, move in a different way? Say, God, I know my heart and my desire is to watch the game, but God, you're calling me to spend more time with you, and I hear you, God. Maybe the call is a specific purpose. So I want to help us this morning as we talk about answering the call. We're talking about picking up the phone. As we're talking about saying, yes, Lord. Sometimes we need to learn how to listen. Now, God is speaking. And in Experiencing God, one of the classes that we're taking, God will speak through circumstances. Sometimes God will speak through other people. Sometimes he'll speak through his word. The page, it'll jump off the page, and you know that's for you. And the kind of God that we serve, even though he's so big, sometimes he'll whisper in our ear. He'll call us by name. And so we're called to listen. In Luke 5, I'm hoping this helps us, Jesus was teaching by the seashore. And the Bible says that in Luke 5, people were pressing upon him because they wanted to listen to the word of God. And the Bible says that Jesus saw a couple boats that was upon shore, and he asked the owner of the boat, Simon Peter, he said, can you just push out just a little bit into the water? And Jesus stepped into the boat, and he began to sit down and teach them as they were listening to the word. At some point, if we're going to be able to answer the call, we got to hear it. We got to listen. Sometimes what he has to do when he's calling us is get our attention. Do you remember Paul? Paul, who was murdering and persecuting and crucifying saints, that God had to get his attention when he knocked him off the horse on the road to Damascus. You remember when he had the light shine and God got his attention? Sometimes he wouldn't listen until there's something happened. Right now, God is saying you don't have to go through some of the things you're going through. Just listen. Just be willing to hear, to hearken to the things that I'm trying to tell you. He's got to interrupt our day and get our attention because sometimes we just won't listen. So the people were there, they were listening. Jesus was in the shallow end of the sea. But then sometimes, in order to answer the call, we got to launch out. Not only listen up, but we got to launch out. We got to get to a place that is uncomfortable. God says sometimes in order to answer the call, we got to get from comfort and go deeper. We got to push out. We got to go further out into our faith. We got to step out into some things. That there's a deeper place in God. God is saying if we stay in comfort, and we stay in the shallow end. He says that we can't hear him because what he wants to do, come on, Hope Elam, in the deep end is make our faith experiential. It's one thing to hear the word of God. It's another thing to experience it. And sometimes we can't experience God where we have control, where we have everything in our hand. Sometimes we got to loosen our grip. We got to say, yes, Lord. We go a little bit deeper, even when we can't touch the bottom. Jesus told him, he said, look, he said, when he had finished speaking, he said, Simon, now go out where it's deeper. Launch out. Somebody here today that you're good. You're hearing the word of God. Something is happening in your heart. There's some things that God is starting to speak into your life. And God is saying, you still got to go a little deeper. Because there's a calling. There's a drawing. And there will be a sending. Maybe you hear and you understand that you need to listen. You need to launch out. You need to go deeper. But sometimes we just got to let God be God. Jesus said, look, now that you're in the deep, he said, let down your nets. Maybe you're here and you've been holding on to some stuff. You just keep holding on. You're not quite, you let it go and you pull it back. Sometimes we want to let go and let God, but as soon as we do, it looks like things get harder. Things get rougher. The sea starts to become more turbulent. Sometimes we want to let go, but we can't let go because it's safe when we hold on to it. We're anchored to ourselves. And God said, let it go. It don't belong to you. He said, you won't be able to see it. You won't be able to understand it. You won't be able to experience it until you let it go. It's not till we experience God being a healer. It's not till we experience God. We don't have to always go through trial. Sometimes we just got to step out on faith. Sometimes it's positive. But it's deep. It's not just, sometimes we got to allow God. He said, let down your nets. That means he was already prepared to provide a blessing, but they had to participate. They had to physically lower their nets. Now, they had been working hard all night long. Maybe you're here, you've been working hard for a while, and you ain't been catching anything. You ain't had increase in your life. There has not been fruit to show based upon the hard work you've been getting. But God been saying, let it go. It wasn't until they let it go and they let down their nets. Maybe you need to let down the bitterness. Let down the strife. Let down the unforgiveness. Let down the stuff. Let down your disappointment and your hurt. The things that you don't understand why it is the way it is. Somebody helped me this past Saturday when we were talking in men's ministry. We serve a sovereign God. It's hard to understand. But he's sovereign. How can the created tell the creator what he should do? We put our confidence in him and say, God, you are for us. God, you go before us. You stand behind us. You all around us. You are in us. So we got to let God. We got to let go and let God and let down our nets. They had understood what it meant to be, mean to be fishermen, and they did everything they could. Then here comes Jesus and say, go deeper and let down your nets. Somebody right now say, it don't make sense what God is calling me to. It don't make sense to do what I keep doing. It don't add up. He said, let down your nets. They let down their nets, and it was so much fish that they caught. They didn't have, the net broke. They couldn't get it all in. Not only listen up, not only launch out, not only let go, but sometimes we got to leave. Don't you know sometimes in order to answer call, we got to leave? How do I know? Abraham. God came and said, Abraham, leave your native country. Leave and go to a place I'm going to show you, and I'm going to bless you so much. You have no idea how many generations of blessings that's coming your way. Sometimes, you know, when I think about Paul had to, God had to get his attention. When I think about Moses had to let go and let God. When I think about Abraham, he had to leave. After they had come unto shore, as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Sometimes the call is to say, God, okay. Sometimes it's your occupation. If God says so. Sometimes it's your situation. Gotta leave it. Sometimes it's your location. Sometimes it's your position and your condition. You know what often is hard to understand, to leave by your reputation. Because you remember more than most what you've done or failed to do. And that's why oftentimes we don't step into and we don't accept the call because we remember what we've done. We remember our reputation. But the question is, why not you? Answer the call. Why not you? Paul was a murderer. Moses was someone who didn't have much confidence, so God had to keep building him up. There's plenty of opportunities to think about those he called who wasn't great at doing what they were supposed to do. So why not you? All right, so answer the call. What is it God is saying? Go deeper. You've been coming. You've been drawing. Seek ye first the kingdom. Then all you have need will be added unto you. God says that if you thirst after me, he said, I'm going to give you drink, and you'll never thirst again. He said to the people, you seek after me because of the bread you ate, but you have this living bread, and you never hunger again. So why not you? All right, so in our text, I just believe that there are evidence that we have been selected, we have been sent for service. In Acts 13, come with me, it won't take long. One day, verse 2, but I want to tell you about verse 1. Verse 1, it was a grouping of diverse individuals. There was Barnabas. If you look at Acts 13, 1, there was Simeon. Simeon was called the black man, from Africa. There was Lucius from Cyrene. There was Manian. Then there was Saul, really Paul. And in that moment, it says, one day as these men were worshiping, as they were fasting, and they were all in one accord, the Holy Spirit selected, anointed Barnabas and Saul for special work. See, sometimes because people have a manifestation of gifts, we think that they're better. They're not better. They're just selected for a particular gift, and so are you. The Bible says that they were selected, they were chosen, they were called, they were commissioned for special work. The Holy Spirit decided. When the Holy Spirit, and you know it's Him, and He calls, we need to listen up. Launch out. Let go. Sometimes we gotta leave. That's why they were selected, but you know what? So are we. Matthew 28, you remember. Jesus, after He was resurrected, He met them at Galilee. And when He met them, they saw Him after He was resurrected. Some still doubted. Read it. But then He said, all power and authority has been given to Me. And He said, therefore, go and make disciples. We're all commissioned. We're all called to make a difference, to be an ambassador, to be a representative, to spread the good news. All of us are chosen, called, and commissioned. We've been selected, but not only that, we've been sent. Verse 3 says, so after fasting more, praying more, it says, then they laid their hands on them. They anointed them and then sent them out. We're going to lay hands today, but they sent them out. They were sent. In Isaiah, the 6th chapter, when he had his call, Isaiah looked up, he said, I saw the Lord sitting up on the throne. And he said that there were angels flying, and they had 6 wings. 2 wings covered their face, and 2 wings covered their feet. And with 2, they did fly. And they talked back and forth to each other, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then Isaiah said, oh, I'm doomed. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Bible says that an angel flew to the altar and got a coal and put it on his lips. And he says, see, now your shame is forgiven. And your guilt is gone and your sins have been forgiven. And then the voice came, who shall I send? And Isaiah said, send me. Here I am, send me. And the voice said, yes, go. We're selected, we're sent for service. And I gotta hurry. Barnabas and Saul were selected. I wanna tell you about Barnabas. Barnabas was not up front. Maybe his call was strictly to be an encourager. His name was not Barnabas, his name was Joseph. They called him Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement. Maybe you're here and your call is just to come alongside somebody else and encourage them along the way. Maybe you are a daughter or a son of encouragement. Maybe you are a Barnabas. I have to ask the question, who is your Barnabas? Who are you a Barnabas to? Because you are here for service. All right, a man after God's own heart, that was David. Come on, if David, who was a murderer, who was a liar, who was broken, if he can be restored with Psalm 51, why not you? Why not you? Why not you, Pastor John?
Some of you are sitting there going, two preachers? Yeah, you get 2 for the price of 1 today. So hang on. we won't be long. When God calls, it's time to answer the call. Amen? My name is John. I've been one of the pastors here in this community for the last 16 years, and today is my final Sunday in this role, and I've talked to a few of you this morning, and you said, hey, I'm so excited to be here. This is my first time here. You picked a great day to come, let me tell you that. We love it that you're here, because it's always somebody's first day at Hope Elam, and here's why. Because you are more a part of this than you know. You are just as much a part of this as anybody else. God's calling you as well. You are a part of a much bigger story. Every single one of us has been called by God. You too have been selected. You too have been sent. You too have been called to the work of service. But yet in all of these stories, in God's story since the beginning of time, you go down through these stories and you will realize nothing happens of significance unless the hand of God, the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, the wind, the breath of God is at our backs moving us. Nothing happens without the power of the Spirit. Amen? You go all the way back and you start tracing the work of the Holy Spirit is there at the very beginning. Didn't show up in a particular church at a particular time. It was there at the beginning. It said the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, present at creation, participating in the work of creating the world. We see it throughout the Old Testament for showing up for particular people in particular times for particular tasks. Certainly for David, as the Spirit of God came over him. When David fell with Bathsheba and fell into sin, he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, restore to me your spirit. Put that spirit back on me." Again, in the end of the Old Testament, the prophet Joel says, there will be a day. He foretells, he prophesies this in Joel chapter 2. He says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people," God says, "even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days." And so instead of just being for some people, we know that the Holy Spirit, when it is poured out, is for who? All people. Say all people. All. Now turn to your neighbor and say, that includes you. Tell them that right now. That includes you. It's for all people. So it is no coincidence that we flash forward to the New Testament, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when we know that the day of Pentecost comes. That Jesus tells the group of believers that's gathered, much like we are this morning, he says this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power. You will receive what? Power. And not just any kind of power, not the power we talk about in a worldly sense of power and authority, but something deeper, something truer, something richer, soul power. I cannot help but think of a film that we've used many times here. Remember the Titans, an old film, but it really tells the story, and there's really a nice analogy of what God has done in this church as well. And leave it up to the high school football team. Leave it up to a brand new coach who comes into town and shows this segregated town how to come together. To break down the walls of racial divisiveness between us, and there's a scene at the end of the film where the team comes together and they're all huddled up. And one player asks another player, "Hey, what kind of power you got?" And the player responds, "I've got some soul power." He said, "No," he puts a little bit more into it. "I want to know what kind of power you got." He said, "You know, I've got some soul power." And Hope Elam, I'm here to tell you this morning that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. It is no time. It is no time to shrink back. It is no time to play it small. It is no time to sit here and worry about the future. God's got it. Because that same spirit lives in you this morning. That kind of power. Nothing of significance has been done without it. And it is that power of the Holy Spirit that has been leading and guiding the story of this church from the very beginning. You may not know this, but you are a part of something much bigger than yourselves. Hope Elam is a part of something much bigger than ourselves. Going all the way back to the birth of the church in the book of Acts, but for our time today, we're just going to go back to the mid-90s. There is a faithful, small group of people that gathered, about 12 of them, most Sundays in a little storefront, and then at the chapel of Living History Farms. But before that, even a pastor named Mike Householder went to a bunch of pastors in West Des Moines. He said, "I think that being called to start a new church," and the group of pastors said, "You know what? I don't think we need another church in West Des Moines. We're good." Now, a couple years later, they grew, and it was growing, a couple hundred people. Somebody stood up at a church council meeting and said, "You know what? I think we should cap it at 200. This church is getting way too big. Let's just keep it small. Everybody knows each other." One thing leads to another. You have a faithful group of people together, the Spirit fell, and the rest is history. A couple years after that, there's a faithful group of believers that began meeting and gathered, and believe it or not, a former Lutheran church, but up by the Capitol, called Elam Christian Fellowship. Many of you here today were a part of that. Under this vision of being a multicultural, Bible-based, Christ-centered church community in the city, the Spirit fell. God's people answered the call. And then there came a time, this is where my part of the story begins, in 2008 with my khaki pants and my tie ready to go as a brand new preacher. And believe it or not, you can do church anywhere because the church is not a building. And we started in Hubble Elementary School, and everything we had as a church fit in a trailer. And whether it was 8 below or 90 degrees, we did it rain or shine or sleet or whatever, snow, whatever it was. Even when the lock on the trailer gets stuck and you can't have church right away, you eventually get the whole thing unloaded. And we learned how to do church because that's all we could do in many of your living rooms, in many of your basements, of Bible studies and small groups and coffee shops all over the city. And when the time came for a permanent location, God provided this, believe it or not, a former car dealership at 1821 Ingersoll Avenue. And I'll never forget the first Sunday that we moved in and we renovated it. We were having church. Guy walks in, he looks around, he goes, "Hey, I think I bought a Jeep here once." And I said, "Well, now you're going to hear about Jesus here. So welcome to Hope Elam," right? Welcome to Hope Des Moines. So there we were. And then about 2019, a realtor came to us and said, "I've got a big old brick church building at the corner of 25th and University that needs a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to blow through it." And so we thought to ourselves, this is way bigger than one church. This has got to be about the kingdom and the city of Des Moines. And we started asking ourselves the question, what if? What if we didn't just talk about racial unity? What if we actually did it? What if we did that? Something that everybody else said couldn't be done? No, it's too hard. It'll never work. You should just stay in your corners and let the black church be the black church and the white church be the white church and the brown church be the brown church. Let the Lutherans over there and the Pentecostals over there and the Baptists over there. And we said, why not us? Why not God? Why not right now? What, right now? And we said, what would it look like to be the church where black and brown and white and young and old and rich and poor and city and suburb and Republican and Democrat and yes, even Hawkeyes and Cyclones and Bulldogs and Panthers and even Missouri Tigers can come together and be the church? Because the Jesus that unites us is stronger than the differences that can divide us. And there... there is no way any of that story happens unless the power of the Holy Spirit is behind it every step of the way. If this was about us, it would have ended a long time ago. This is a God thing from start to finish, so don't get it wrong. It's not about a pastor. It's not about a building. It's not about a denomination. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no way any of it happens unless the wind of the Holy Spirit is at our backs. There's also no way any of it happens without the power of love. You've heard it so many times, you've probably heard it read at a wedding this summer, 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says, I can do all these things. I can be an eloquent speaker, speak in the tongues of angels. I can have a faith that can move mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. Let me translate it for us right here today. I can have a great big church building. I can have the best worship team in town. I can have a fancy light show. I can even have the right theology. But if I have not love, I am nothing. It is love that makes Hope Elam what it is. It is love that allowed so many of you to accept me as one of your pastors when you didn't need to and I needed to earn your trust. It is love. It is grace. When people ask, what is it about Hope Elam? There's just something there. What are you guys doing? What's the secret sauce? What's your grand promotional marketing scheme? There isn't one. It's reliance upon the Holy Spirit. What is it? It's reliance upon the Holy Spirit that has been guiding us every step of the way. It is love from start to finish that every single person that walks through those doors, regardless of where they've been or what they've done or who they are, knows that they are a child of God and that here they are loved by an almighty God. Amen?
It's the power of love. Let's be known, Hope Elim, for however long as God has us here. Let's be known for love. Let's be known as that church. And yet I cannot talk about love without talking about my love and the love of my life, my wife Tiffany, who's been on our staff for over a decade as well, and she needs to be recognized and celebrated today. I am incredibly, incredibly grateful for you because I would not be who I am without you. And this church, let me tell you, this church would not be who we are without you. You are an incredibly, you're an amazing wife, an amazing mom, but you are an incredible leader. And you have never and you will never fit in any pastor's wife box that anybody ever tries to put you in. So praise God for that. And to our incredible kids, Caleb and Evie, that are having to listen to Dad's sermon for another time. You guys are awesome. And I love you so much. And I am so thankful because there are no two bigger, better fans of Hope Elim than the two of you. And how much grace and patience you've had for your dad. And I hope you hear the loudest sermons, not on this stage, but at home, when nobody else is looking, because those are the most important sermons. But thank you for being an example to this entire church of being all in for Jesus, of inviting, amen, thank you for inviting more people to this church than probably anybody else in this room. So thank you. And thank you for being walking sermon illustrations every single day in everything that you do. And I am so grateful for the two of you. I'm grateful for so many of our friends and family that have come to support us today as well. Pastor Brian, thank you for the honor to serve alongside of you. I am so incredibly grateful for you, and I'm excited that we still get to be a part of Team Hope and serve together, albeit in two different locations. Thank you for being my brother. Thank you for your grace and your patience, and thank you, thank God, thank you for accepting the call to come back to Des Moines. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's what is true. In every season of this story and every season of God's story, there's a common denominator. There is a common faithful group of people, imperfect albeit, but there is a faithful group of people. And when the Spirit fell, they were sent out to be a part of God's mission. It was the Holy Spirit every step of the way. And we learn in the book of Acts that when the Spirit falls, the gospel spreads. When the Spirit falls, the gospel spreads. We know that Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You could just translate that today if you need to put it in context a little bit. You will be my witnesses in Des Moines, in West Des Moines, in Waukee, in Iowa, and to the ends of the earth. So just translate it that way for yourself. The call is the same. The cities might change, but the mission stays the same. And as I shared a few weeks back, this is the why behind the what. This is the reason for the call, is that when God lights a fire in you, the Holy Spirit is often referred to in Scripture as a fire. And when the wind of God gets behind fire, that is a firestorm that nobody can stop. And when God puts that fire in you, the Holy Spirit sends you out to be a part of His mission. And God just happens to have called our family to a new location, to Hope Waukee. And we're going to serve as faithful as we can there and use the many lessons that we've learned here from all of you, the things that you have taught us. And you might think today is all about us. Far be it from true. Today is about us. And what God wants to do through every single one of you. You don't know, but every single week when you come to Hope Elim, you've been commissioned. What do we say at the end of every service? Now that you've come to worship, it's time to go be the church. That's you. You're a missionary. You've been called, every single one of you. It's not just for a chosen few. It's for every single one of us. Hope Elim, don't forget who you are. Never get so comfortable. Do not forget who you are. Church isn't a building. I've seen God change lives on the street corner downtown. I've seen God change lives in an elementary school, in a car dealership, and in a 130-year-old historical church building. Do not tell me that God cannot do anything that he wants through in you and through you. Do not forget who you are. Do not forget to go and be the church. And yet in every single one of these stories, there's so many people that God used from the beginning until now that were standing on the edge of something great. But in order for them to accomplish the purpose that God had put in their life, they had to step into it. Oh, I got a little Minister Bonnie mojo going this morning. You got to step into it. And some of you are standing on the edge and God's saying, step into it. God said to Abraham, Pastor Brian teed it right up. God said to Abraham, I'm calling you to be the father of many generations. But he had to leave the unknown. He had to leave his home country and go into the unknown. He had to step into it. And when God showed up to Moses in the burning bush, he said, I need you to go and set my people free and rescue them from Pharaoh and slavery. But Moses had to make the decision in that moment. I'm going to cower in fear or I'm going to step into it. God shows up to a young woman, Queen Elizabeth. Excuse me, Queen Esther, not Queen Elizabeth, Queen Esther, and shows up and said, I've got a task for you that maybe God has chosen you for such a time as this, to rescue your people, to save them from the evil king. And she had to step into it. And there is Peter on the edge of the boat, on the edge of his fear. And he looks out and it's not a ghost, it's Jesus walking towards him. But in order for Peter to see the miracle, he had to step out of the boat and step into it. And there's somebody here this morning and you're standing on the edge of a hope, of a dream, of a vision, of a goal, of a calling that God's put on your life. And maybe what you're standing on the edge of this morning is letting God all the way in. I'm gonna leave you with that. Open up your heart to the love of Jesus Christ, the most powerful force in the entire universe that's been pursuing you since the day you were born. You are standing on the edge of it. You are so close. Open up your heart to the love of God. Let it all the way in this morning, and you will never regret it. You will never regret going all in with Jesus. Whatever you are standing on the edge of, step into it. Amen? Amen. Step into it. It has been an absolute honor and a privilege to walk alongside so many of you. Some just for a few short months, for some of you, for 16 years. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your support. Thank you for the trust that you've given to me and our family. Thank you for the love. Thank you for your prayers. It has been an absolute honor to be a part of this move of God, of so many moves of God over the years. And what I get excited about is that we get to continue as a part of the Hope family, to continue not just to come to church, but to be the church. And so now it's time to answer the call, not just for the Anninson family, but for every single one of us. I don't know how you could walk away from today thinking that you're not a part of this, more than you know. Why not you? Why not here? Why not today? God is calling. Pastor Brian, it's time to answer the call. Amen?
First Peter 2 and 8 and 9 says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, we can show others the goodness of God. For he called you, us, out of the darkness and into the wonderful light. Why not you? Why not now? Why not us? Pastor John.
God is calling every single one of us. And I don't know why, this is just the way that my mind works, but every week when we come and we gather together, it feels like we're a great team that's gathered together in the locker room before the big game, you know, or on the sideline. And we come together and we huddle up, and that's Sunday morning, and that's great, but you know we're called to go be the church. At some point, you got to break the huddle, and you got to go play the game. This is equipping you. This is setting us up for the real game, the game of life that God's called you into, and it's so real. Let's not pretend. And so as we gather, we're going to break that huddle and we're going to go be that amazing team that God has called us to be as Hope Elam. And so I don't care if it's cheesy or not. Get over it. Wherever you're at, I want you to put your hand in. And if you're worshiping with us online, put your hand in as well. And Hope Elam, you are an amazing team. We love you. We're so proud of you. And Hope Elam, the best is yet to come. So Team Hope Elam, on the count of three, let me hear you. Hope Elam on three. One, two, three.
Hope Elam.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elam, follow us on Instagram at hope.elam or visit our website at hope-elam.org.